And it is Tuesday, and it's also noon. So you know what that means, don't you, Stone?
I certainly do.
It is everybody's favorite radio broadcast. It is Everything Atlanta. My name is Matt Gardner, and I am here, as always, by my my colleague, my co-founder, and my best friend, Danny Broadway.
Good afternoon, Mr. Matthew Gardner. How are you this week?
Well, you know, doing okay. Trying to get through the holiday rush here, trying to get the presents purchased, trying to get the house in order, and trying to just get ready for everything. You guys ready to go for the holidays here?
You know, we're trying to get ready to go. We have done a lot of purchasing. We actually have birthdays 2 days after, we are planning Christmas. We're planning a 6-year-old birthday party at Monkey Joe's. We are trying to get gifts for all of that, and then the refrigerator decided to quit too because it didn't like Christmas.
Was it kind of like my my washing machine? You just kind of just go out on the. I'm tapping out.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, buddy.
I'm going to tap out on you. I'm done here.
Your bank tapped out, and I'm going to tap out.
That's right. Everybody's tapping out together. So, Stone, what are you doing for the holidays? You going to be around?
No, we're going to head to Pensacola where I grew up, have Christmas with Mom and Dad. Then we're going to go over to my brother's house for a couple of days, and then all 10 of us are caravanning down to Key West, and we're going to do New Year's in Key West.
Very nice.
You'll be running through the panhandle.
Stone, I've got to ask a guy like you, this would be the perfect question. What was your favorite Christmas present that you ever got?
Mm. Well, it came as a Santa Claus thing, and it was, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and we had, Santa Claus left in our backyard this great, big, huge rocket ship as a fort, and we got all the space paraphernalia. That was the most memorable Christmas for us, me and my brother.
Wow, a rocket ship. I cannot say I ever got a rocket ship.
I have not gotten a rocket ship, but the best present I got, I was probably 11 or 12 years old. And I found it about 2 weeks before Christmas, hidden in my parents' house, and it was a skateboard.
Nice.
I'd wanted a skateboard. You know, everybody was starting to skateboard about that age. And the most difficult part about it was knowing that it was sitting in there underneath the cabinet in the back room. So what I would do is, after everybody goes to bed, I'd go get it. I'd go outside and just kind of skate around the sidewalk in the night.
In the night, darkness.
In the middle of the night. And so when Christmas morning came, of course, the skateboard was under the tree, and my mom had that look on the face because the wheels, as you can imagine, were not in a new and improved condition. They were definitely used, and there was rocks all over it. So I'm guilty of wanting to get to my presents a little bit earlier. So
very good.
What about you, Danny? What's the best Christmas gift you've got?
You know, it was probably the most memorable. I've gotten a lot of really nice presents, but I guess the most memorable would be the G.I. Joe Army base.
Nice.
Yes, I got it right when it came out. Yeah, and it was special. It was a special moment. So I'm gonna go with G.I. Joe. But
well, you know, today we have a pretty special guest, and the reason we brought him in is because, you know, Danny, you and I've mentioned it the past couple of weeks here at the show. Stone's been scratching his head.
He has. He's the headset. He moves it around. I don't know what's going on over there.
So, Danny, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest today?
Yeah, we'd like to bring Tommy onto the show. He owns a company here in Alpharetta, Georgia. It's called Headhunters. Headhunters is a magical thing that I found. My wife will kill me for admitting it, but my children ran into this epidemic that has gone around the schools here in North Fulton with head lice. Mm. And as I talked to Tommy, and I'll let him really obviously get to the facts, but as I talked to Tommy more and more, I learned that head lice is not a situation sometimes where you can just throw some shampoo on it.
Not anymore, right?
No, it's not. And, the idea that there's a center for a very nominal fee as to what you get and all the treatments and all the follow-ups. And again, I'll let him go into it. We had a great experience with Tommy that he has cured my children of that.
Yes.
And he did it in record time so that my oldest daughter, who also had a Monkey Joe birthday party in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Monkey Joe. She was able to make that, whereas, again, with the shampoo program, I was going to forfeit $200 and my daughter not have a birthday. So I was excited, although I'm sure head lice is not, you know, the most exciting topic, the knowledge that is not out there about what you can do. So with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Tommy to the show and thank him for being here.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
My name's Tommy Lambert, and I'm founder of Headhunters. Founded this company 3 years ago due to my daughter's own problem dealing with head lice. At the time in the economy, the downturn forced me into finding another job. And I think, you know...
Here you are.
Here I am in life, but there's a path planned out for you in life, and I think this is where I have been meant to be in my life, is to be able to help people.
Sure.
And my company takes pride in helping individuals and families across Georgia, and taking the embarrassment out of head lice. We're a proactive company, and we really derail all the myths out there that get people on the crazy train, and try to get them back in line, and just feel that it happens to approximately 15% of the school kids in Georgia at any time can have symptoms or signs of head lice. And nationwide, the average is probably about 18%.
Well, let me ask you just the really, really easy question. What is the number one sign or symptom that a child or a person might have head lice? What is that factor?
Well, 50% of the people notice the itching about 3 weeks into having head lice. The other 50%... they experience no symptoms at all. That's a common mistaken myth that the itching is going to show up.
So you would literally have to see them sometimes. You don't get the itch. You would not know unless you actually saw them in the hair.
Right. Proper identification is the key. But generally, on average, it's about 3 weeks before somebody notices that they have a case of head lice. And at that time, from the initial one that transferred to them from head-to-head contact, in the three-week point, they're probably going to have anywhere from 30 to 60 live louse in their hair and approximately 1 to 400 nits, which are the eggs.
Wow. So not only are we dealing with head-to-head contact, tell me about some other ways, because I know, you know, when this was all going down with my kids, they couldn't wear headphones or I mean, what are the other common ways besides just hairs getting entangled, I guess, as kids kind of goof off at school? And what are the things moms should really look for that are other transfer points?
Well, 98% is from head-to-head contact. Your other 2% chances is going to come from, to me, from working in a facility. We see a hairbrush, anything that would have contact with somebody else's hair and then be passed on to somebody else, a hat, anything, you know, that would touch somebody else's hair, stuff like jackets and coats. There's no evidence to support that it can transfer like that.
Is that right?
Also, backpacks. We have a school in the area that's got everybody's backpacks in plastic bags.
Huh.
Wow.
And they've called for us to kind of come out there and treat the carpets and the furniture. And we're unwilling to do that because they're not there.
It's just not the way that it's So there is an extremity to it. I know when we had our family fun day the other day, it's a fundraiser there at Mountain Park. One of the mothers, they were using a clip much like the one you have there from where you've been working today, and it's just a hair clip. It's a metal hair clip. What are the odds a metal hair clip like that, a 3-inch hair clip, can transfer a lice or louse or, you know?
It's almost none.
Right. And so there is an extreme to it where you can set back a little and say, look, you know, this isn't how it's going to happen. It's going to happen through the transfer of hair 98% of the time. Very good.
If people take a step back and look at the children at play from kindergarten through fifth grade, they will see all the head-to-head contact that they can handle. It's there every day, all the time, and... the thing about head lice, they're resilient, and it only takes the one female to transfer over that can start the whole infestation for the next family.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell me, going back to, and I appreciate you telling us about your company and your background. That's awesome that you have a heart for this, and I know that's rare these days, you know. And tell me a little bit about your team. How did you amass your team, and how are they trained, and what do you guys do to make sure you're the number one way to get rid of that lice?
Well, initially, when I founded the company, I was searching for help, and I found Katie Shelpert, who runs a nonprofit company down in Florida called Life Solutions. Corresponding with her through email, she guided me through how to get it out of my own daughter's hair. And after that, I went down there through a week and a half session, got certified and trained at her facility. And now what we do is pass that information and training on to our own technicians. It approximately takes about 6 months to get a technician up to level one. We tier them in levels. We have levels 1 through 3, and it takes that time because we're not looking just for the aspect of a technician going through the hair. We want the experience and consolement for the family. We want the family and the children to feel awesome when they leave. And we take great pride in trying to, you know, present that as a company. Head lice isn't, you know, just a hair problem. It's an emotional nuisance also. And
correct.
There's many, many moms that's dealt with this problem that feel overwhelmed. And when they come to our facility, we teach them enough and console them enough that when they leave, they're a lot more confident. And the mommy guilt seems to go away because it's not their fault. It's just passed on.
Yeah, so and I big kudos. And, Matt, I want you to say that. I just want to back that up. That, I mean, you know, my wife was tripping out, couldn't, you know, I could not console her over this issue. And by the time we were on our second and third visit, just for the follow-up's sake, you know, to make sure, they make sure that your kids are not going to carry this or spread it. I mean, the kids couldn't wait to go back with the little trinket you gave them. And with the, I mean, it's amazing what he does. But anyway, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and, you know, for the people that are listening along with us here, I wanted to give out the website address so you could follow along and kind of go through the elements that we'll be talking about. The website is headhunterslice.com. That's headhunterslice.com. And you guys are located off of Alpharetta Highway there in Roswell, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what just so people know, what are our store hours and how do people need to reach out to you?
Headhunters is by appointment, just like any specialized facility. Generally, Monday through Friday, we take appointments from 10 to 4, and on Saturday from 10 to 2. We always make sure that we have enough time. If somebody needs to be treated, that we can treat them. Fortunately, only 60% of the people that come in and get checked actually need to be treated. So we don't want people to be shy about coming in thinking that we're going to enforce them to be treated. Our purpose is to help people and educate them and properly identify if they have it or not. We have people coming from other states that, you know, drive 6-7 hours to get here and they don't even have it. They can't believe it, but, you know, we show them the proof. If you come in for a head check, we'll show you exactly what we're finding in your hair.
Awesome. That's perfect. And knowing that you're going to get the proper treatment, I guess that's why they do come in from so far away. And you being a specialist, I mean, I think that's important. So is there any way, speaking of checking, that, you know, I guess it's pretty obvious when you've got it, but early on, what's the best way to check if they're at home and they're trying to figure out whether to come see you? Yeah, come on in and check it out. But what are some of those early signs? What are the best ways to catch it early so they know to come in and see you?
The number one way that we suggest checking is with a comb. If you get a good lice comb, dampen up the hair with some conditioner, detangle it, run a comb through. If you have a good lice comb and you do a head check that way, you can have a 99% accurate check. With that, also checking that way will give you a chance of finding exposure within one day of having it. Versus if you do a visual inspection, you may not notice it until 2 to 3 weeks into the infestation.
Right. And until it's really bad.
And at that time, about 3 weeks into it, is how we classify kids or individuals as contagious.
Right. And I kind of feel like you're a pioneer in this. I mean, how many people out there are doing this? I mean, you talk about just hundreds and I would think thousands and thousands of kids that are dealing with this and the adults are dealing with it. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, you're working with someone out of Florida that you've really kind of mentored under and you've grown up under that. But, you know, people driving 3, 4, 5 hours to come see you, how many treatment centers are there? Is this a new concept or an old one that's being reborn? I mean, what does that industry look like?
The industry, since I've been in it, I was the first one to offer these services in the state of Georgia. I was really back in 2008. I think there was maybe 17 companies like mine in the United States. Now there's over 100. There's probably 5 or 6 others in Georgia. The main thing that we bring to the table is, you know, we take the passion of how I was trained from Katie Shepherd and present that to our clients. Her original cause for starting her nonprofit down in Florida was to be able to help everybody and anybody possibly that she could. And that's why they do what they do. And, you know, we try to imitate her services on her level as best we can, but we add our own spice to it, which is, you know, impeccable customer service.
Right. And so Shepherd Certified, I see that on your shirt. That's a big deal, right? You know, that's the top in the business, right?
That's the top name. It's no shortcut to it. If you've been dealing with head lice for a while, you know that it is a process to get to 100% clear. And if you do that, then, you know, you usually you're not going to go through that reoccurring nightmare of having it again in a 3 weeks, which is a sign that you didn't get rid of it the first time.
Right.
But it's also the standards. Since I've trained down there, I was the first guy ever certified by Katie Shepherd, but now there's been probably 70 other companies started just in the last 3 years from her certification. So it's kind of like, you know, having the Mercedes emblem on your company. It's, you know, quality and precise and knowledge. And
you were the first guy.
First guy certified by her. And
so you kind of designed her training program for many to come.
Well, as far as dealing with the guys, what happens you'll find is guys have good ideas, but women seem to fine-tune everything. And I find having our technicians, the women in there that's grown and developed, you know, they're actually, as far as technically wise, going through the hair, they're probably better than me now, but
right. It's
just a sign of good training and confidence in them, and, you know, just that approach is, you know, good to see.
Yeah, meticulous. That's fantastic.
So how long does it take to get, if your kid or you have, how long does it take, if you knew you had them today, how long does it take to get rid of them?
If you come into our facility, if you have it, approximately our average treatment time is 1 hour and 15 minutes, and if you have a severe infestation, and maybe 1 hour and 45. There's other companies that might want to treat you a couple times and charge you for that. We basically, the more you got, the more you're getting for your money for us removing it. But we also follow up with our rechecks and actually implemented. Now we have double checks by different technicians on every client that comes in, and it still helps with the quality of our work. Because when you're dealing with head lice, they're real resilient. If you leave just one left, it will come back.
Why take the chance? Why go to Walmart and try to find the stuff and then go home and try to... I'm like, no, let's just hop in the car, go to this guy's place and knock it out, right?
And the combs alone, I know we didn't know about headhunters. We didn't know about the right way to do this. We had never gone through this before. And so, you know, we went to the local barber shop where you get the high-end shampoo for $50 a bottle and, the comb and all this, and tried to do it ourselves. And we very quickly learned that, luckily, we had a neighbor in the neighborhood who referred us to him. And we found out, and then immediately, you know, dumped the effort at home and said, hey, let's go get this professionally handled. And we could have saved ourselves tons of money by just... knowing about
peace of mind. These people know what they're doing.
Exactly. Right? Knowing he was there and knowing there is a resource for this, and it's not you're out there on your own. You know, I think a lot of families think that when lice comes in that you're out there on your own, you know.
Yeah, because I'm looking through the website as we're chatting here, and you can really tell that you guys are that family owned business, that you actually do care about making sure that the community around you is taken care of. I mean, you have tips on here on how not to get lice. Yeah. There's not many businesses out there, Stone, that will give tips on how not to use my services. There's some kudos to that point of view. What are some of the myths out there that people are misled to about lice? I mean, do they come from dogs? Do they come from the ground? I mean, what are some of those myths that you'd like to disband
they
right now?
They can jump up to 300 feet. In a single bound.
In a single, on a windy day, or?
We've only been able to train them to jump 1 foot so far. But some of the myths out there is people want to believe that they infest a house, and they'll buy these sprays that are not even safe for pets, and they'll spray the whole house. And the fact is, head lice don't want to be anywhere else besides being on somebody's head. They have their food source, they have their heat source, and they have their shelter. All of them myths, as far as them being in places besides the head, come with frustrations of people trying to get rid of it totally. And that's what we focus on. If you're 92% effective, it's going to come back. If you're 94% effective, it's going to come back.
Wow.
Also, we hear a lot African Americans can't get it. And, you know, we see them every month come in for treatment. It's not about the hair. It's not about the skin. It's about the blood type. And there's blood types that head lice prefer, just like other parasites. They like the positive blood types.
Wow, how about that?
O positive being the number one blood type, A positive.
What do you got over there, Stone?
O positive.
Oh, no positive.
Three quarters of the population have an O positive blood type, but also in that population, one out of three people with O positive blood type is going to experience head lice in their lifetime.
Wow.
Now, if you get to the negative Rh factor in your blood, say a B negative, it kind of acts like a kryptonite. Treated thousands of individuals, yet to come across anybody with a negative Rh in their blood that have a bad case. They can have exposure, but head lice, when they transfer, that first time that they try to feed, it causes the female to die off, and it enables her to not do her job. So that plays a major role.
So is there a future cure in the negative stuff in the blood that maybe you could, one of these days you could take something orally maybe?
Well, they try antibiotics, but as everything in life develops, it's like immunity to it. Head lice, they do it. It's like 80% effective. They have back antibiotic treatments that they try to give to these kids. But all these other treatments that people, you know, putting chemicals on their head and putting antibiotics in their body that they don't need, somewhere down the road, it's not going to be beneficial to that individual. And really, yeah. I mean, we use nothing that's even remotely has any toxic side effects. We can simply do it with a cup of water and a comb, get rid of a case. It's just the tediousness of follow through and getting rid of it totally that makes that happen. People ask us about their pets, if the pets can have head lice or carry it. Sure, they could take a ride on the dog, but when they go to feed, because a pet or an animal doesn't have an Rh in their blood, it will cause the head lice to die if they try to feed on that individual.
So it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Interesting.
Wow. Now, you talk about feed. Obviously, you're talking about the blood like a tick. They're attaching someone like a tick, and they're feeding on the blood, right?
Head lice feed every 4 hours, and that's also, they get their protein and their hydration from your blood. And it's that approach of taking them out of their food environment, which is really causes them not to be away from a head. They're so susceptible to dehydration, even if they miss two feedings, say 12 hours later. They may be crawling around and be alive for a little bit longer, but they can't even feed themselves because they need to be able to secrete saliva in order to feed.
Hmm.
When they go to feed on your scalp, they inject their saliva to get the blood to coagulate and come out.
Into your pore.
And that's actually what causes the itching, is the buildup of that in the system. Your body tries to reject that. And it usually sends up an itching sign, or you'll get, you know, swollen glands and stuff like that, or even a slight fever can show up.
Gee, wow. My head's itching, guys. I don't know about y'all.
The creepy crawlies.
Well, there goes blaming the dog, too.
Yeah, right.
So speak a little bit more to this, the emotional stigma, because it sounds like you guys really work that side of the equation as well. And that's every bit is, right? That was a challenge,
I agree. It was a big challenge for us. I kind of saw what you did with my family, but talk to the things you do as a family comes in to try to help emotionally.
Number one thing is, you know, it's not the child's fault. It's not the individual's fault for having head lice. Sometimes people have that approach that they cause this. It's a domino effect. It's caused by, you're just next in line. As far as you had head-to-head contact with somebody that had head lice, now you got it. It's nothing that you started. It's nothing that's going to end with you. They've been around for 10,000 years, and I'm sure they'll be around long after, you know, probably anybody in here is alive. But right. The emotional effect it has is, especially for the moms, it makes them feel overwhelmed that, you know, they're not doing their mommy duties and being a good mother, and it's really not their fault. It's something that happens. It's just like a cold. You know, it gets passed around from classmate to classmate, but we even find it's not even a school setting thing. We get families that go on vacation together. We go to the camps. We got homeschool children that have it. They're not even around other kids. So, you know, it doesn't have to take place only at the school. It's around somebody that has it, and usually they don't even know they have it time they pass it to somebody else.
Right.
So
it can infect three people before the first one even knows you.
Exactly, and we try to make the mothers feel, you know, try to help them out by giving them information and teaching them and showing them and building up their confidence. And by, you know, education comes confidence. And usually if any family or member has been treated by headhunters, they've been given a great lesson on head lice, and they have a better understanding. And we try to do that in order to extend our service. Say a mom knows somebody that's having a problem dealing with it, that they can teach them and tell them what we've taught them, and that just extends our reach as a service.
Very cool. Well, let me talk a little bit, too, about, you're talking about where they catch them. You know, and again, it sounds like anywhere. So, you can't lay the blame on not keeping them out of school or keeping them out of church or whatever else they're involved with. The kids have got to be kids. But, you know, what is the school's responsibility? What is not their responsibility? You know, the moms, obviously, emotionally, I don't think they mean to go that way, but are immediately looking for blame or you know, what is the school's responsibility? Because that's where I think 90% of the time we try to blame it. Hey, the kids got it at school. What have you seen around that topic?
Well, as far as what we've seen over the last year or so, the schools being more relaxed on their head lice policies, and they do no screenings, preventative screens almost, or they don't even happen anymore. Private schools implement them, public schools. They think that they can wait for there's an outbreak and then start checking everybody, but by then it's too late. You know, they might think it's five kids in the class, but what about the five kids' parents?
Right.
You know, I think the school should be responsible for helping provide more information and education on the on head lice, and that would make everything go along smoother. I'm not sure they're the blame for everything, but they are the gathering place, and as a school, I think the school's responsibility is to help educate. And I would like, you know...
Instead of hide it, you mean?
Instead of hide it. There's schools in the area that, you know, we get reports of that they had to have 60 kids have it before they send a notice home.
Oh, my gosh.
That, you know, they won't check everybody in the class because of confidentiality. And, you know, we have previous clients out there.
And who would check? The teachers?
It's all laid up on the nurse, and on some of these schools that you'll find, nurses are responsible for 600 to 1,000 kids, and... They're overwhelmed. They're the gatekeeper, but they get blamed, and it's really not their fault. All they're doing is trying to protect the other students and try to implement what they can, but they're overwhelmed now. We, as a company, predicted in September that the head lice this fall would be at an epidemic level, and what we've seen over the last 2 months that it is at an epidemic level. It's probably on average from 4% to probably about 9% of all kids
wow.
right now have it. And even in Western counties such as Harrelson County, you're looking at a 38% ratio for kids in school having signs of head lice.
Well, let's talk quickly about the economics, the economical impact to the parent. The costs are obviously are displayed on your website, so people can kind of have an understanding about what that is. I mean, it's almost my question is, you know, what's the cost not to do it? You know, to be able to have a yourself or your child, infected by this problem. And it looks like there's some flex spending account opportunity with you guys as well.
Yeah, a lot of people have the FSA cards or flex spending accounts, and we're able to process them through our checkout service or apply a detailed invoice so they can send in. It's covered as a medical-type condition. Even though we haven't had big insurance companies want to step in and pay for it, you know, they rather, the average cost if you go to a doctor and get a prescription treatment is $123. And then the treatment, you know, the prescription-style treatment runs on average about $200. So if you take your child and get a prescription for a head lice, you're probably going to spend about $300. And probably they're the same as any kid at the store. They're only 90% effective. We just take pride as, you know, if you come in, we can do a head check. You can, we'll let you leave with it or not, but we'll tell you how to get rid of it. A lot of people choose for us to take care of it once they come in, but, you know, we have individuals that, you know, we'll get them to buy some shampoo and a comb, give them some information on paperwork, and, you know, they're happy to try it out and see. The most of the thing on any type of job is the elbow grease involved, and we take that away. You know, it's a lot of work. There's no shortcut to it. You know, you're going to have to get your child to sit still, and we're going to have to comb through their hair. And we kind of accomplish that at our facility by making everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the nursing part, too, because I think, you know, kudos to you for going out there and saying, hey, these nurses are under a lot of pressure. I know my wife's cousin it does that for one of the schools over in Kennesaw, and, you know, she gets beat up pretty bad for everything. And, you know, they just tried to cut their pay over there in Cobb about 8 months ago, and she went up, and it was on Cobb ETV, whatever it is, you know, where she was speaking and trying to help these nurses that are just getting beat up over there. What are there resources for them? Or I guess they're trained at some point, but is there any support program for them where they can communicate internally or be, hey, a heads up that Cobb East has got it and Cobb West, how do they prepare? Is there an emergency lice system? Or, I mean, what are the things that are happening and the things that aren't happening? Do you have any ideas? I mean, I know you're a pioneer in this. I mean, you're the first guy in the state doing it. You're the, you know, and I know you get some media time you want and some you probably don't want, but, you know, what are the things that you would like to see happen to help these schools and to help this effort?
I would like to see them implement the preventative screenings. Like when I was younger, we got checked 2 or 3 times a year. I know they've cut that out of the budget on some of it or have more assistance for the nurses in these schools. But because the nurses in the school, besides dealing with the head lice issue, they have kids with allergies, kids that are allergic, that they got to watch out for the peanut butter and stuff like that. There's a whole bunch. If you go visit a nurse at a school and just look on her bulletin board of all the stuff that she's keeping up with, you will see that she's inundated with the amount that she's responsible for. And it's up to some of these school systems to take notice to help implement this, because as naive as they might think it might be that it's a kid's problem, it is a family problem when they're dealing with head lice. And I think they fail to recognize that. And as you know, crazy as it sounds, there will be a day, I predict, within the next 3 years, there will be a school system sued over kids getting head lice.
Right. Because those steps are not being
taken.
Right.
We got a school report yesterday, 60 kids in one school got sent home for head lice. And that school's policy, it doesn't matter if your sister has it or not. If she goes to the same school, she gets sent out of school also. So there's crazy policies out there that are implemented. But, you know, it's just a fact of more education for the schools themselves.
Right. And so you said preventative, and one other thing I didn't understand what you meant by was when you said, you know, that these kids should be checked. I mean, should they be checked, like, coming in the first day of school, or should it be once a month, or, you know, what does that preventative maintenance look like on the check? You know, how often should each child be checked?
Well, our recommendation is that the first week of school, after Thanksgiving break, after Christmas break.
Okay, when they've been out, seen the cousins in L.A. and been to Boston and been to Florida and wherever
else. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, whenever they've traveled the country to go pick it up and bring it back home.
Yeah, right then at them rate and them intervals, you'll find it's probably at a 4 to 6%. If that 4 to 6% isn't picked up, it's going to turn into 8 to 12% within a couple months.
That's where you get into these epidemic numbers.
Right,
like
because what they'll find is everybody at the epidemic levels, but they're not finding the people that's had it for a week or two. Because one child over a month's time can pass on head lice to probably 6 to 7 children. So if you have 5 children in a group setting, you're looking at, you know, amazing number over a month time.
Well, that's awesome, Tommy. And I know you're doing things and that we've talked about and that you're talking about doing to try to help this communication process, to educate parents on what are the options out there and what is going on. And, you know, I knew this was going to be a good segment today. I'm so glad you were able to come in and try to help these adults. And again, we'll get this posted out there on our space so that we can refer this 30-minute conversation out to parents who are dealing with this and the options. And it's not an embarrassing thing. It's just like if your kids get a cold, and there's a way to fix that cold, and it's called Tommy over at Headhunter. So let me go ahead and give you one last, you know, radio plug here. And, you know, again, best way to reach you, who to ask for, what phone number to call, what email address to learn more. I even saw he's got a ton of pictures on his website. A lot of great, all the information you heard today, plus more on the website. So get involved with him on this. Tell a friend about it. You know, let them know what's going on. And it can really be a relevant opportunity for you to be able to beat this issue. But Tommy, I'll let you do that one more time, and then we'll go to our social media moment.
Yeah, we're at the Headhunters facility, which is located at 11205 Alpharetta Highway, which is located in the Roswell Professional Park. Our phone number is 678-240-0042. You can visit us on the internet at headhunterslice.com. We have information online as far as tips and stuff that you can help prevent it, and also pictures to help identify it correctly. If you feel that you need a head check or not sure if you have it or not, just give us a call and we'll be glad to help you.
Perfect. Thanks, Tommy. I appreciate you getting in. That was Tommy Lambert, and he is with Headhunters there in Roswell, Alpharetta. Thank you so much for being on the show. And as always, we want to have our social media moment, which Matt is going to let me take care of today. A lot of you don't know that Matt is the brainchild, and I'm more of the take it to the world child. So, but you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about are what are called dynamic apps, and you know, I really really want people to go out there and investigate that. It's basically where you can take a website and embed it into your Facebook page. A lot of people, when they're out there surfing Facebook and hanging out on Facebook and talking to their kids and relatives, and they happen along an opportunity, don't want to have to leave Facebook to go to another website to learn more. So what we do is you can do this too by just investigating online or calling a specialist, is to build a dynamic app inside of Facebook where your audience can engage with you just like they were on their website. So we wanted to leave that little tip of the day there for all of our social media fans that do follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And what really started this show was that social media movement and wanting some of these people that they see to do live opportunities. So we really appreciate that. And that social media moment is, as I always say, brought to you by Yepser Internet Strategy, who sponsors the program and allows us the opportunity to do this. And you can reach out to them at yepser.com, Yepser.com. Call the office or email the office at all the attachments there at yepser.com. So, wow, Stone, never knew lice had that kind of cure or that huge responsibility, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm absolutely relieved. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't I wasn't particularly excited about the interview when I found out what the topic was, but this is one of the most informative, valuable interviews I think we've ever had in here. And I mean, to me, these are the go-to folks if you have a problem.
Yeah, that was the thing. The more I've gotten to know Tommy, again, not through a circumstance I wanted, but it's just not that big of a deal. I mean, you would think my kid's got the plague, you know, and it's not. It's just a freaking cold that was fixed in 48 hours and one or two other follow-up visits to make sure that it was cured. So I'm going to be a huge proponent for, we can say the word lice out loud and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, I agree.
But I really appreciate the show today. I appreciate all that you did there, Stone. And as we always say, Atlanta, you don't know anything until you've listened to Everything Atlanta right here every Tuesday at high noon.